From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After months of campaigning, curveballs, and uncertainty, we're starting to get a look at which candidates are advancing to the general. Many are still too early to be called, of course. County elections offices have until July 2nd to count all the ballots. The Secretary of State will certify the primary results on July 10th. But it has been pretty interesting to see how the votes are shaking out. We're starting things off with our Cap Radio state and local government teams. In a moment, we'll dive into the races for Sac City and County, but first, Cap Radio State House politics reporters Laura Fitzgerald and Gerardo Zavala join us with an update on the races they've been tracking. Hey, you two.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
All right, Laura, I want to start with you. You've been following the governor's race, so we're talking live at 12 p.m. right now. Returns are going to keep trickling in. What are the results looking like so far?
Yeah, so early results show Republican Steve Hilton is in the lead at around 27%, which is to be expected. And then after that, you have former California Attorney General Javier Becerra at around 25%. Then Tom Steyer is trailing behind at around 20%. And then last night, we also saw a few of the low-performing candidates, they officially conceded in the race, dropped out. You have Matt Mahan, Katie Porter, and Antonio Villaraigosa. And, you know, votes are obviously still being counted, but it's looking like Hilton and Becerra will likely be the two candidates facing off in the November general election. I think, you know, if you're Tom Steyer, you're looking at results coming in. He's hoping that he can secure a spot in that top two, maybe make it a Dem-on-Dem race. But it's looking like that's a little bit of a long shot at this point.
All right, we'll just have to wait and see. So moving to some of the races here locally, for Congress, District 6, it lies along I-80 in parts of Sacramento, Yolo, and Placer counties. It was recently redrawn following the passage of Prop 50. Congressman Kevin Kiley jumped into this race, changed his voter registration from Republican to no party preference. What's been interesting about this race so far? What did the early results show?
Yeah, so I'm so glad we're talking about this race. It's kind of the biggest surprise to me. So Kevin Kiley, yes, he's running as an independent. He's running in a new district, although there is a lot of overlap between this district and Placer County with the last district, CD3, that he currently represents. And remember, he was really outspoken against California's Prop 50 and mid-decade redistricting. And, you know, a lot of people can say, OK, he had, you know, part of that could be because his seat was, you know, maybe in jeopardy. But he is the front runner as of this point in the race based on the early results. And this is what he told his supporters here at a watch party in Roseville last night.
Certain politicians think they can move lines around on a map and choose your representative for you. But they forgot one thing. We still get to vote. Yeah.
So remind us, Laura, why he left the Republican Party.
Yeah, when you ask him, he'll say that it actually reflects that he says there's too much partisanship in Washington. He thinks that it should be less about right, left, red, blue, and it should be more about delivering for constituents. But, you know, this change also did happen, you know, when he was facing down the barrel of Prop 50 and looking at like maybe being out of a job. And so I think like that's really important context to have. It's interesting. It's definitely part of this strategy that he's taken on. I mean, he's really moderated a lot of his rhetoric in the past few months leading up to this. It seems like it's paid off for him since he performed pretty well in the primary last night. This is, you know, what he said specifically to his supporters last night when it comes to his party affiliation.
It's pretty much unheard of for an independent to advance to the top two in California. We've never had an independent elected to Congress, at least since the dawn of the top two era in California. And we had a very strong showing. So I feel good about things. I think that our message has really resonated with folks here who are sick of all the partisanship and are sick of the two sides blaming one another for our problems and would like to see them come together to actually solve those problems.
Yeah, so here you have him saying, you know, he's talking about Washington is too partisan. This has kind of been his reasoning, his reasoning for changing parties. It would be pretty interesting to see him be elected as an independent from California. That hasn't happened, like he said. But the thing that's really interesting to me about this race is, you know, it's a Democratic-leaning district. This CD6, it's kind of a new district because of how Prop 50 changed the congressional lines. And so I think it being Democratic leaning, it was drawn with, you know, designed to make it easier for a Democrat to get elected. And you have Kevin Kiley performing. You have a number of Democrats in the race, you know, Dr. Richard Pan, Sacramento County DA Tin Ho. But the second vote getter as of right now is Republican candidate Michael Stansfield. So that is the thing that's really standing out to me about this race, because you have a situation where the top two as of now, and I know votes are still coming in, but, you know, Democrats have to be sweating a little bit, you know, wondering, this isn't going to be a slam dunk for them. Like, they could be sweating that they are going to get locked out of the race.
Let's take a listen to what Kiley had to say about the fact that Prop 50 affected, you know, how he campaigned, you know, for the primary. Let's take a listen.
I didn't take it personally. I mean, they were trying to, you know, come up with a, it was about math for them. They wanted to gerrymander the state in a way that would add seats in order to offset what happened in Texas.
All right, Gerardo, I want to move on to you. You were actually in Placer County last night as well, talking to just party leaders. You know, Placer County has changed so much in terms of congressional districts. So what do they have to say?
Yeah, so I started my election coverage attending a street fair in Roseville. I spoke with Jennifer Johnson there. She's with the Placer County Republican Party. The group had a trailer set up so that they can talk to voters about what they care about. And she told me that voters she spoke with were motivated by issues like the economy and education. But she also expressed concern to me about the political division we're seeing across the country.
So this idea that you have to be so angry with the other side, I want that to go away. I want us to be Americans again. See, like, just like that, behind us, getting booed, because we're here.
I also attended the Placer County Democratic Party's election watch party, where I spoke with Candidate Development Committee Chair Nick Bennett. He told me his group has been less involved in the primary race compared to their mobilization efforts for Prop 50 last year. A lot of that has to do with how many Democratic candidates are running in each congressional district the county is now a part of. They haven't endorsed a candidate yet because of that, but he's confident Democrats will perform well despite the crowded field.
Yeah, we've been watching for a possible scenario where two Republicans could advance. I think overall we're confident at least one Democrat will make it for each of the congressional races.
So as that continues to shake out, Gerardo, back in November when Prop 50 was being voted on and was approved by voters, you did a story on how the newly drawn districts would give Asian and Latino voters in Placer County more voting power. So why was that the case?
So that's because the county was previously entirely in District 3, which was a predominantly white and Republican stronghold. Latinos and Asians made up about 15 and 8% of the population, respectively. But Prop 50 split the county into three districts that, for the most part, gave these groups a boost in voting power. Roseville and Rockland, for instance, were pulled into the more diverse Congressional District 6, where Latinos actually make up a fifth of the population and Asians make up 12%.
You were able to catch up with Latino and Asian voters for that story, mm-hmm. you know, even last night. So how are they feeling about the primary?
Yeah, so one of the people I spoke to last year and then last night is Tanya Zito. She works at Sierra College in Rockland, and she lives in Auburn, so she voted in the 3rd Congressional District. She says she felt like her vote didn't really count in previous elections.
I would back all the Democrat candidates that came through and tried to take on, you know, our Republicans that have been in office for a long time. So, yeah, this year it felt great to be able to vote for a Democrat and know that that possibly can happen.
Zito, who is half Latina and half Asian, also said she was very hopeful and surprised by how many Asian candidates were running for congressional seats, including neighboring District 6, where early results show former State Senator Richard Pan among the top candidates. I also spoke with Cam Mahone, who helped create AAPI Placer County a few years ago. She was happy to see more diversity in some of the congressional races. It's unclear, again, how much Prop 50 had to do with that, but she's using this race as a framework for how future AAPI candidates can run in these new districts.
being able to learn from the races that are these AAPI candidates are running, and whether they're successful or not, being able to, I think, draw down those lessons, I think, will be really critical.
Laura, before we let you and Gerardo go, just really quickly, let's look at District 3. Congressman Ami Bera is running for re-election. What do the results look like so far?
Yeah, it looks like Ami Bera has secured a spot in the top two, and the he's kind of running with this incumbent advantage. He was in CD6, now he's running in CD3, so he and Kevin Kiley kind of switched districts. So he is coming in at around 33%, and then it looks like he's going to face off a Republican, Rob Tucker, who's a resident in the Sierra Foothills. He's at around 34% of the vote, so it's looking like we'll have a pretty straightforward Democrat on Republican race for the newly drawn CD3.
Cap Radio politics reporters Laura Fitzgerald and Gerardo Zavala, thanks you two.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thanks, Vicky.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the results from last night's primary election. Now we're going to get local. We're going to bring in our local government team, Riley Palmer and Tony Rodriguez. Hello.
Hello.
All right, Tony, I want to start with you. You've been covering one of the more competitive congressional races taking place this year, California's 7th District. Longtime Democratic incumbent Doris Matsui is facing a significant challenger and fellow Democrat, Sac City Councilmember Mai Vang. Remind us of the significance about this race.
Yeah, well, this has definitely been one of the most closely watched and competitive races in the Sacramento region this year. Congresswoman Doris Matsui has represented the area in Washington since 2005, and she hasn't faced a serious Republican or Democratic challenger since she's took office. So this is the first time she's running against an elected official, with Sacramento City Council member Mai Vang stepping up. Mai Vang entered the race following a trend across the nation of younger progressive Democrats challenging more establishment politicians. Matsui is 81 years old and Vang is 41. And the race has become a broader debate about experience in Congress versus this new progressive push in Democratic politics. The latest results show Matsui is leading in about 31% of the vote right now, and Vang is second at about 25%. But Republican candidate Zachariah Wooden is only a fraction behind her. So while Matsui appears to be locked in position to advance into the general, the battle for the second spot is still not entirely decided.
And you went to both watch parties last night for both Matsui and Vang. What stood out to you?
The contrast between the two was on full display. Matsui held her watch party at a small restaurant near Midtown. Her appearance at the party was swift. She made some remarks to fire up her supporting crowd and said she was preparing to catch a red-eye flight to D.C. Local politicians were in attendance. Mayor Kevin McCarty was there, former Mayor Daryl Steinberg, and Sheriff Jim Cooper showed out to give their support. Mayor Kevin McCarty sits on the city council with Matsui's leading opponent and says the incumbent's experience sets her apart from Mai Vang.
You know, it's not that's about show and, you know, doing the cutest tweets and going on, you know, podcasts and MSNBC and giving speeches, rallying against the issues. It's about delivering for Sacramento.
It's pretty interesting to watch these dynamics play out because he sits on the council with Vang. And a majority of the city council she sits on endorsed her opponent.
Endorsed Matsui. So you were able to speak with Congresswoman Matsui before she caught that red-eye flight. What did she say?
Matsui was very optimistic before early results rolled in. She took the time at her watch party to remind people of the work she's already doing in D.C. She pointed to her track record of fighting against the Trump administration. She voted to impeach him twice. She also referenced her seniority in Congress and stressed that Sacramento already benefits from having someone who knows how Washington works. And when she was asked what separates her from her opponent, Mai Vang, she said it's that effectiveness.
I really don't know what quite her policy issues are, but I would tell you this. I have fought against Donald Trump. I fought against ICE. I really believe that health care is fundamental.
As of now, Matsui is the most likely to have already secured a spot in that top two.
All right. Well, let's move just a few blocks over to Mai Vang's watch party, also happening in Midtown Sacramento. What was the mood like?
Very different from Matsui's gathering. Vang shared her watch party with Sacramento County Supervisor candidate Flojean Kofer. It was more of a party than Matsui's calmer gathering. People were cheering and celebrating as music pumped through the restaurant. The room was packed with volunteers and supporters. It felt much more like a rally than Matsui's. When I spoke to Vang there, she focused less on the vote total and more on how her supporters are showing out. She said she's ready to fight the same fight if she moves on into the general and into the top two runoff.
This win belongs to the team, the volunteers, folks who signed up to Canvas, the phone bank, all the small donors. We were outspent 3-1, and I'm just really proud of the team. I'm proud of this movement that we built in the region.
One thing that stood out to me was how intertwined the Vang and Kofor campaigns were. The two both identify themselves as progressive Democrats, but yeah, many supporters at the gathering were volunteering for both candidates.
And as you mentioned, Flo Kofor once ran for mayor of Sacramento, now in the race for supervisor for Sacramento County. This is to replace Phil Cerna, who decided not to seek re-election this year. How is this race shaping up?
Yeah, leading up to the election night, it really seemed like a race between Flo and Eric Guerra, like you said, who Phil Cerna, the current seat, endorsed. And here's what she had to say about taking an early lead.
I have never been in a race where I was on top at the first drop, so that's exciting.
So she feels that she's carried a lot of that momentum from her run in 2024 for the mayor of Sacramento. And she says that much of that support has helped her campaign.
So her opponent and current city council member is Eric Guerra, as you just laid out. What are the results looking like right now? I know it's early. Votes are still being tallied.
Yeah, Eric Guerra is falling behind. That is not decided yet. If Flo takes a 50% lead plus one, she could take the race, but that's probably not likely to happen. It seems like they both will move on to the top two in the general election.
All right, Riley, you're up. You were out last night at a bunch of watch parties in Sacramento, keeping an eye on city council races, of course. So let's start with District 1 in North Natomas. The incumbent, Lisa Kaplan, is facing a challenger from Gentuala. Why did this race seem so contentious?
Yeah. Hi, Vicky. So you are correct. I spent my evening bopping around North Natomas mainly, keeping an eye on that race, which is District 1, as you mentioned. And I mean, in comparison to the other local races, incumbent Lisa Kaplan had probably the most threatening challenger in candidate Gentuala. The current results place Kaplan at 53% of the vote and Chawla at around 42%. Which is pretty close for an incumbent who is facing a first-time candidate. The endorsements for this race were also pretty interesting. Kaplan had the support from a previous council member who held the seat, State Senator Angelique Ashby, as well as the former mayor, Daryl Steinberg. However, the current mayor of Sacramento, Kevin McCarty, and the fellow Natomas council member, Karina Talamontes, in South Natomas, pledged their support behind Chawla.
Honestly, she is working so hard. She's like a sponge. She just learns and grows and learns more and grows more. And I think that that's really important, especially with dealing with today's issues, is being able to adapt and being able to understand what's possible and what's not possible.
And then in general, there's been some interesting conversation on the dais with Lisa Kaplan. Kaplan has butted heads with the mayor and fellow council members on how to address homelessness in the past few months and how much money the city should spend on it in general, given the city's budget is stretched thin and they're already facing a $66.2 million deficit.
What stood out to you about Kaplan's watch party last night?
Kaplan's party was held at the Aloft Marriott Hotel in North Natomas, and it had a good turnout. It was a pretty fancy affair. As I mentioned, Kaplan had a good amount of powerful endorsements. Some faces at her party included prominent figures like State Senator Angelique Ashby, as I mentioned, and then, some city council members who support her, such as Rick Jennings, also showed up for her party last night. And then when I was at her party, I saw some people from the housing development community that I recognized just through my reporting. I caught up with a developer named John Bignocchi, who's a well-known developer in the city and just came to support Kaplan.
She's really a good proponent of urban infill development, which is what we do. And she's also a proponent of like thoughtful development for agriculture areas and other, kind of expansion parts of the suburbs. And so.
All right, let's move over to the other watch party, Gentuala. How was the vibe?
The vibe was good. Twala held her party at Friends Brew House, which was just a 6-minute drive from Kaplan's party, which made it convenient for me. And it had more of a grassroots feel, but it was equally packed. There were lots of people from Sacramento Central Labor Council there. They helped sponsor the event. They're all wearing red shirts, so there was just a sea of red going on. I also got a chance to ask her about the early results, and she was still feeling very optimistic.
We always know that the first drop favors the incumbent, and she's a little too close to that 50% mark, so that makes us really excited because a lot of our votes came in at the last minute, so this might take some time, but we're very confident.
Do you think there's a chance that Councilmember Kaplan could win her seat outright?
Yeah, I think their latest results haven't changed too much from the initial vote count at 8:15 p.m. last night. So there is a chance that Kaplan could win her seat outright. And when I was at her party, we talked about how she ran her campaign. And, you know, if she was worried about any of those disagreements on council and if they may impact the results of the race, here's what she said.
America was built on our First Amendment right, freedom of speech, and you should want to have council members that have healthy debates on the issues. For me, I go hard at the issues and easy on the people.
So if she wins, this could mean that her constituents feel she is standing up for them and their interests. With that said, though, it is impressive that a first-time candidate came so close to that 50%. And the race isn't called just yet, as we've been talking about. We may not know the official results for a bit, maybe until Friday.
Right. Well, finally, what are the two other races happening in Sac City Council, District 7 and District 5?
Sure. So it's looking like the incumbents in those races are set to reclaim their seats. That would be Rick Jennings in District 7 and Katie Maple in District 5. Current results show Katie Maple has captured around 63% of the vote in District 5, with Jennings having 55% of the vote in District 7. And then it should be mentioned that Karina Talamantes won her race in District 3 for South Natomas by default because she was running unopposed. So depending on how things shake out over the next few days, we could see an unchanged council or a new face representing District 1.
And that is our local government team, Riley Palmer and Tony Rodriguez. Thanks, you two.
Thanks. Thank
you. Up next, we're going to nerd out a bit with Paul Mitchell at Political Data Inc., which tracks ballot returns across the state. Plus, Republican strategist Rob Stutzman joins us with the hits and misses of the primary for the GOP. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.